Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we get ready for the Major League Baseball postseason. I'll power rank the 10 playoff teams heading into the playoffs, which begin tonight. Plus, a couple of complaints about the Major League Baseball season and the way things are handled. Get to that coming up. I'll even catch up with Jared Diamond next hour from the Wall Street Journal to preview Major League Baseball's postseason, as the Atlanta Braves are back in there, fourth straight division title. Now, we got to try to make something happen. Got to try to do something with those division titles. Today is the anniversary of, you go back 36 years, Eddie Robinson broke Bear Bryant's record with his 324th win as a college football coach on this day back in 1985. Robinson was the coach at Grambling. And he was the coach there from 1941 to 1997, which is amazing. Think about how much the game had changed from 1941 to the time he retired in 1997. 408 wins for him overall by the end. But he passed Bear Bryant on this day, 1985, and was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Also on this day, 1985, how about this? Just as big of a deal, it was the second WWF Saturday Night main event on NBC, and Hulk Hogan won in a flag match that night. So there you go. That also happened on this day, 1985. Big day. A lot of things going on in 1985 on this day, on October 5th back then. And then pretty close to the day, it's not exact, it was October, I think, 2nd, was when Bucky Dent hit the home run to beat the Red Sox in 1978 in Game 163. Those two, almost 43 years to the day, will play another single-game elimination tonight at Fenway Park. The Major League Baseball postseason begins tonight, and baseball is the easiest sport to pick on. And I try not to do it only when there's legitimate things to either complain about or to voice some sort of grievance about. And Major League Baseball, I've always said Major League Baseball is also the one sport that their own guys, their own employees, the players, complain more about the sport than any other. How often do you hear the NFL guys go to the podium and talk about how much their sport sucks? Right? So baseball kind of brings it to themselves as well. But as we get ready for the Major League Baseball postseason to begin tonight, I do have some grievances, some things I do not get with the Major League Baseball season that I need to air, get off my chest before we start the playoffs tonight.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
The obvious. One-game wild cards. What are we doing here? I've been complaining. I've hated this idea since they put it in. It's not just because the team I root for is finally having to play in one tonight. Can we go to a three-game series? Does an extra 2 days really make that big of a difference? Now it gets tough because then everybody else is sitting at home waiting for these two wildcard teams to play, and baseball is such a game of routine. Your pitchers, you know, just like they can't pitch on short rest, sometimes you don't want them to pitch on extra rest either. They got to stick to that every 5 days. Sometimes guys struggle when you give them an extra day off. Throws them off their routine. Their arm's a little too fresh. Same with batters. Your timing at the plate. If you gave a guy a week off, right, when they come back from the IL, why do you think they go on rehab to the minors? So baseball is a very important sport when it comes to timing, and I do understand the issues that could come if you had, say, the Red Sox-Yankees play a three-game series and everybody else has to wait almost a week at the end of the regular season to then begin their postseason series. That's why I never liked this extra wild card setup to begin with. Or just change it. Give the top team a bye, maybe, and then have the other four teams play regular series. But to have the longest season that we have in sports, 162 games, come down to a one game tonight where you just, oh, I hope our starting pitcher has it, it's just an absurd idea. And I think we can all agree. This is no hot take. We all understand, except for Major League Baseball themselves, how dumb this is. to go through a 162-game season and have it come down to one pitch tonight. The Dodgers won over 100 games. They have to play in a single-game elimination tomorrow. And you better hope Max Scherzer is good to go. What happens if he comes up lame in the second inning? Well, there goes your season. What happens if he's off his game? He just doesn't have his best stuff. Well, there goes your season. Curt Schilling would always say that as a starting pitcher, you had your best stuff a third of the time. You had terrible stuff a third of the time. And then what made up a great pitcher was the other third starts. Right? If you make 30 starts in a season, 10 of them, you're going to be on your game. Nobody can hit you. 10 of them, you are not going to have anything out there. They're going to knock you around. And what makes the difference between a great pitcher is those other 10, where you're kind of in between. You may have the fastball, but you don't have the curveball. Can you make it work? Get through six innings. My point being, for starting pitchers, if you're good half the time, right, that's a success. So for a one-game playoff tomorrow, you got a coin flip. Okay, which Max Scherzer are we going to get? He's allowed 10 runs over his last 10 innings. How's he going to pitch tomorrow? We'll find out. And if he doesn't have it, forget your 106 wins. There goes your season. Forget the 6 months of hard work. Comes down to one pitcher tomorrow night. I think it's a ridiculous idea. You may tell me it's exciting. One-game playoff, Red Sox-Yankees, a lot of fun tonight. I agree with you. You know what's more exciting? Those two actually playing three games or playing a full five-game series. Or think back to 2003, 2004 when they played seven-game series. Right? The Dodgers-Cardinals is going to be a lot of, you know what would be even more fun? If they actually played each other three times. That's better than playing just once. The one-game wild card is a ridiculous idea, especially for baseball. Football, right, it's a single-game elimination, no problem. They play only 16 games. Baseball, you go through a six-month season, you use 50 different guys, and in the end, it comes down to one game, one pitcher. Makes no sense. Now, they should be fun games tonight. Should be very exciting. But let's cut it out with the one-game wild card.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Complaint number two, the seating, which goes hand-in-hand with this. And the NFL has the same problem. The seeding for these Major League Baseball postseason. Sorry to the Braves fans. You should be in the wild card game. If you're going to give me a one-game wild card, take the two teams that are in the playoffs with the worst record. The Dodgers won 18 more games than the Braves this year. Why do the Braves deserve the security of being in a series and getting extra time off? And the Dodgers have to play in a game. Why? Well, because the Dodgers were in a better division. So let's analyze this a little more. The Dodgers won 18 more games than the Braves while playing in a better division and still get punished. And the Braves, for being mediocre in the worst division in baseball, they get the free pass and go into the first round of the playoffs. It makes no sense. If you want to hold the spot in the postseason for division winners, fine with me. And let's take the three division winners. Let's take the two next best records. There's your five playoff teams. But enough of this. Well, you won a division, so you get a home field advantage, or you get to go into the division series. No. You take the three teams with the best records, you're in, and then the wild card game, change the name if you want, but that becomes the two teams, call it a play-in if you want. That becomes the two teams with the worst record. Now, in the AL, the two wildcard teams do have the worst records amongst the five, even though they've won over 90 games. That's how good the AL was this year. But you look at the NL, the Dodgers have the second-best record in all of baseball. They're in the wildcard game. Put the Braves. The Braves won 88 games in the worst division in baseball. You do not deserve the sense of security of being in a series, getting to rest a few days, and not having to go up against somebody like the Dodgers. Throw the Braves and the Cardinals in this wildcard game instead. The Dodgers, for winning over 100 games, they have the 17th most wins in Major League Baseball history. For that, they deserve the security of being able to lose a game and still not having their season end. NFL, same idea. Take the division winners to the postseason if you want. You don't have to give them home field advantage in the playoffs just because they won a crappy division.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
We avoided this year. But it's the game 163 tiebreaker. This almost came to fruition yesterday, where if we had a tie on Sunday, two teams end the season tied, they would have had to play game 163, and then they go to the wild card game today. The reason why I have a problem with this is because, in this case, it was amongst teams that had played each other 19 times this year. Isn't that a large enough sample size to be the tiebreaker? If the Blue Jays, Red Sox, Yankees all tied in the AL, they would have had some sort of fiasco here. Okay, you play this team on Monday, then the winner plays this team on Tuesday. Why? You don't need to do all that. You just played a 162-game season. Over the course of the season, you all played each other 19 times. That's enough. That's more important. The head-to-head is more important. Oh, you beat this team 10 out of 19. Okay, well, you won the series. There's a tiebreaker. You advance. We don't need game 163. Right? Enough of that. But now, we avoided it this year. But even moving forward, when it comes to 163, if it's two divisional teams that play each other 19 times, just use the regular season head-to-head instead of forcing them to play an additional game on the final day after the regular season ends.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Interleague games. Major League Baseball moved the Astros over to the AL. Now you have 15 teams in the AL, 15 in the NL. That's what Major League Baseball wanted. The problem is when it comes to scheduling, you have to have an interleague game every night. The problem with that is once you come down to the final weekend, now you have a team competing for a playoff spot that has to play in a National League ballpark. I think the easy solution here is to configure the schedule so that you at least play in an AL ballpark, because the NL team then gets an advantage. Whereas if it's in an NL ballpark, the AL team is at a disadvantage. The reason why I bring all of this up is because this past weekend, it just so happened to be the Red Sox, but it's going to happen every year, where there is one interleague series going on that final weekend. And it could include a team fighting for a playoff spot. And in the case of the Red Sox, they had to go without a DH for the most important games of the year. It'd be like an NFL team, right? Oh, sorry, you can't use your left tackle today. Oh, what do you mean? It's week 17. We got to win to get into the playoffs. Yeah, but you're playing this team, and you know they don't use left tackles. It's ridiculous. Biggest games of the year, and you have to play differently than you do all year. And on top of it, J.D. Martinez had to play the field, and he injured himself running out to left field, which is ridiculous. Tripped over second base. He's out tonight. Can't play in the playoff game. He had to play in the field this past weekend because of interleague play. It's a silly idea. Or let's just adopt the universal DH to fix this. Or just play in an AL ballpark for that final weekend so that they can use a DH. Because if the NL team is in the playoff race, well, then they get the boost, right? At least it's not a disadvantage. They get the advantage of being able to use extra hitter in those most important games.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
I got to air a grievance about a lot of the players in baseball. I get it's a long season, 162 games. You're not going to run out maybe every ground ball. You're not going to give me 110% every moment of a six-month season. But I discussed this yesterday in regards to Clemson. After the game Saturday, Dabo said, you know, oh, I didn't learn anything about them. Hopefully you learn that this team has a lot of heart. I already knew that. This team's got a lot of heart, yada, yada, yada. Well, that's the minimum to me. Same idea with a baseball player. So I was watching the games this weekend. Gleyber Torres didn't run out a ground ball on Saturday for the Yankees. It's game 161. Season's on the line. What are you doing? If you can't give me 100% in that game, when are you going to give me 100%? Aaron Judge and some other Brett Gardner, some other guys had to talk to him in the dugout and say, guy, you got to run out a ground ball. What are you doing? Our season's on the line. As a Red Sox fan, I watched them lose 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, a team that has nothing to play for. They looked uninterested. You know, you've gone 6 months. This is what you're applying for. It's the final week of the season. Can you give me a little more effort? Can you run out a ground ball when your season may potentially end tomorrow? Right? You can rest in the offseason. Hustle for me. 2 more days is all I need out of you. And then maybe a postseason run. Right? But give me a little effort here. Run out a ground ball. You don't have to run too often in baseball, but on a ground ball, just show that you care, especially when it's when you're fighting for your postseason life. Right? The Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Rays, who had nothing to play for and weren't using their normal starting pitchers. I got to see more effort from these guys in the big important games.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
The MVP conversation. I don't want to jump the gun here because we have to see who actually wins the MVPs. But everyone I'm reading, everyone I'm seeing who has MVP votes, they're all telling me it's going to be Ohtani and Harper. Oh, yeah, they locked it up. Ohtani, the clear MVP in the AL. Bryce Harper, the clear MVP in the NL. It's been almost 35 years since we've had two MVPs that did not make the postseason. Could happen this year because everyone's telling me Ohtani's the MVP in the AL. Bryce Harper is the MVP in the NL. I disagree. Ohtani was great. What he was able to do by pitching and hitting, right? Something we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. It was remarkable. But I saw a tweet, and I wish I remember the name, but somebody who covered Major League Baseball that said, oh, yeah, Ohtani locked up the MVP in July. No, he didn't. The games only get more important from July on. If you're rewarding an MVP award in July, then you're doing it all wrong. And I still subscribe to the idea that it's the most valuable player. That's the name of the award. Ohtani was fantastic this year. He was excellent. Valuable? Well, the Angels finished in 4th place and were 8 games under 500. Without him, what are you going to tell me? They were going to be in 5th place instead of 4th? Okay. I don't see a ton of value there. In fact, the Angels had a winning record when Ohtani did not play. They had a better record without Ohtani than with him. And in the most important games of the season, last 2 months of the year, he hit .216. That's an MVP. That's a valuable player. Now, it's remarkable what he's doing both sides of the sport. Right, both sides of the ball. Other guys don't have to worry about that. But Ohtani hit .216 the last 2 months of the year. He had a 4.5 ERA the last 6 weeks of the year. The Angels finished in fourth place. And that's not valuable enough. Sure, he's valuable in the sense that he can pitch and hit for you. But then I look over and just say Toronto. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Right? Now, the Blue Jays may have missed the playoffs, but they did win 90 games. Came down to the final game of the season. And he hit .311, 48 homers as a 22-year-old, played great down the stretch, was number one in the AL in offensive WAR this year. He's more of an MVP than Ohtani. In the NL, people are telling me, hey, Juan Soto or Bryce Harper, they're the MVPs. Yeah, sure, Soto is first in the NL in offensive WAR. Bryce Harper is third. They were on losing teams. The Nationals finished in last place. Sorry, Alex Rodriguez, I can't give an MVP award to a guy in a last-place team. How valuable were you? Without you, okay, then you're further in last place. Not a big deal to me. And the Phillies were .500 this year. How valuable was Bryce Harper? In fact, going off of that WAR statistic, Bryce Harper was only the third most valuable player on his team. So how are you going to give him the MVP award in the NL? And in the biggest games of the season, when the Phillies had a chance against the Braves last week to make a run, to try to overtake the Braves and win that division if they swept Atlanta, you know what this most valuable player did? Bryce Harper went 0 for 11 with 5 strikeouts. That's valuable? You want to give him an award for that? This year, Bryce Harper hit .218 in late and close situations. That's not good. In the biggest moments this season, Bryce Harper did not come up big. He played well when the Phillies were already under .500 in the second half and had nothing left to play for. For me, most valuable players still comes down to value. Ohtani, yes, theoretically, very valuable because he can pitch and hit. But the Angels finished in fourth place. The Nationals finished in last. Juan Soto had a great year. But without him, the Nationals still finish in last. They still wind up in the same spot. The Phillies had a .500 season. Without Bryce Harper, all right, maybe they finish in third instead of second. But when they needed him most against the Braves last week to try to make one final push to the playoffs, he went hitless, struck out in half of his at-bats. That's not value to me. Freddie Freeman was more valuable. He hit over .300 in the second half as the Braves made a run to the postseason. Austin Riley is more valuable to me. Paul Goldschmidt, who hit something like 15 homers in September, and the Cardinals won 17 straight games to get to the playoffs. That's value. That's somebody who is important to their team. Not Bryce Harper striking out 5 times against the Braves as the Phillies have another .500 season. Right? Goldschmidt was more important to his team. Freddie Freeman more important to his team. So maybe I'm jumping the gun. Maybe the voters will surprise me and pick true MVP players this year. But everybody I read, everybody I see in the baseball world, everyone I talk to is telling me this thing's been locked up for months. It's Ohtani. It's Bryce Harper. I think that's a bunch of garbage. I think that would be two terrible winners for the MVP award this year.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
The last one is personal. Doesn't have to do with baseball. I told you about my injury I sustained. Oh, it was a brutal injury. I feel bad for me, please. I dislocated my finger. I'm doing terrible. Of course, that's all said, tongue firmly placed in cheek. I'm just fine. But I had to go to the hospital to get my finger put back into place, if you will, about 2 weeks ago. While I was there, they ask you the questions, right? Do you drink? Do you smoke? And when they asked me if I smoke, I said, an occasional cigar. Every once in a while, I have a cigar. I've never had a cigarette in my life. That was all. No follow-up. We go through the questions. Okay. Anyways, since my visit to said hospital, I have received no less than half a dozen phone calls from some sort of tobacco quitting program from said hospital. Calling me, it's an automated message, and it says something along the lines of, you recently visited the hospital and told us that you are a frequent cigarette smoker. No, I didn't. And it's not even somebody I can talk to on the phone and tell them, no, that's incorrect, you don't need to call me anymore. It's just an automated message. And I keep picking up the phone just to make sure everything's okay. The hospital's calling me. I want to make sure, like, okay, this isn't something I have to actually worry about. I pick it up, and it's this automated message telling me how much I smoke cigarettes, and they're trying to help me quit. I've never had a cigarette in my life. And when I went to the hospital 2 weeks ago, I didn't tell you anything different either. I said the occasional cigar. Don't call me trying to get me to enter your program to quit cigarettes. By the way, I've never had a cigarette. I wouldn't tell the people close to me to start smoking cigarettes. But if they choose to, I don't know if I want a hospital cold calling me every day to pressure me to enter this program. I gamble on sports. We talk about it on the air. It'd be like if some program hears me talking about it on the radio show and calls me every day and says, hey, if you want to quit gambling on sports, come enter our program. No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'll let you know if I want to enter your program and I need help. I'm good. I can control myself. I don't gamble anything too crazy. You don't need to call me and try to get me to enter this program. So there's my other grievance. They did great work. I was very satisfied with the hospital. They got me in and out. But ever since, they're berating me with these random phone calls about entering some sort of program to quit my terrible cigarette habit. I've never had a cigarette in my life. You're calling the wrong person. But thank you for fixing my finger. Coming up, we do a Tuesday Top 10 every week. We have 10 playoff teams with the Major League Baseball postseason beginning tonight. I'll power rank them when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You're doing a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, our Tuesday Top 10, ranking the 10 playoff teams in Major League Baseball for the postseason beginning tonight here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Just aired my grievances last segment when it comes to Major League Baseball. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. You can also find the show on demand online at charlestonsportsradio.com or also through our free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Not a grievance, but I have an issue with my freezer as well, and I need some help with this. If anybody knows anything about freezers, please help me out. Reach out. My freezer, I think it's the seal. Now, someone's come and looked at the freezer, and they haven't been able to fix the problem, but it keeps frosting up in the freezer, and then whenever I open the door to the freezer, the fan makes this really loud noise, right? Like it's trying to cut through ice or something. I've tried to Google this, and the only problems I've seen were the opposite, that when the door's closed in the freezer, it makes noise. Now, my freezer, I haven't found any solutions online. It's only when the door's open to the freezer does it make this loud noise of the fan trying to cut through ice, and it keeps getting frosted over. I have to take out the hairdryer every once in a while and defrost the freezer. And they've looked at it a couple times. They've done different things. Still hasn't worked. I think it's the seal to the door, but they don't want to listen to my suggestion. So anyways, if anybody knows anything about freezers, help me fix this problem. Every Tuesday on the show, we give a top 10 list. Major League Baseball postseason begins tonight. We have 10 playoff teams. Figured it was easy. Easy top 10 list this week. Let's order the 10 playoff teams in Major League Baseball in terms of who has the best chance of winning the World Series.
Time for the Tuesday Top 10, where we rank anything from quarterbacks to cheeseburgers right here on the Morrow Midday Show. Interested?
Let's go 10 to 1. I think there's more drama that way. Number 10, therefore having the smallest odds to win the World Series. The worst of these 10 teams, the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals, the reason why I put them number 10. Look, they won 17 games in a row. There's been nobody hotter than the St. Louis Cardinals in the last month. They're reminiscent of the Rockies in 2007. The Rockies were a 500 team, and then they played better baseball in September than anybody and went all the way to the World Series that year. That could be the Cardinals, but the reason why I put them at number 10 is because they start with a one-game elimination on the road against Max Scherzer and the Dodgers tomorrow night. So I just don't give them a whole lot of, you know, a high probability of making this run as the wild card team to first get past the Dodgers, and then from there would have to go up against the Giants. So you face the two best teams in baseball, both with the other teams having home field advantage. All right, good luck. The Cardinals may be like the Rockies, who are hot, or they could just be a team that was under 500 until a couple of good weeks to finish the season and can't match up with 100-plus win teams the next couple of days, potentially. So I put them at number 10. Maybe they got hot at the right time. Maybe this last month just overshadowed a team that was really underwhelming for the majority of this season. Number 9, I go with the Red Sox. I put them at number 9, and I put the Yankees at number 8. The reason why I put the Red Sox behind the Yankees, the Red Sox do have home field advantage tonight against the Yankees. But the Red Sox have the highest team ERA of any of these playoff teams. They have the third best offense, but they have the worst pitching staff. And when it comes to October baseball, I still believe you need pitching to win. Or at least a bullpen that you can go to that bullpen to get five innings. And the Red Sox bullpen is not as strong as even the team they're facing tonight in the Yankees. They have to deal with Gerrit Cole tonight. The Yankees just swept the Red Sox at Fenway a week ago, and the Red Sox finished the season not playing great baseball the last 10 days. Plus, no J.D. Martinez. He's out tonight. So the Red Sox, much like the Cardinals, they're teams that I think can go on runs this postseason. They have the ability, but they also have a couple of questions. Right? Is this pitching staff going to be good? Can they even get past Gerrit Cole tonight? Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, last time he pitched at Fenway 10 days ago, they blew out the Red Sox. So I put the Red Sox at number 9. I put the Yankees at number 8, the difference being that pitching staff. The Red Sox have a better lineup. They have home field advantage tonight. But if the Yankees can get past tonight and get into a series, the Yankees have maybe the best bullpen of the postseason, and the bullpen becomes even more valuable, more important in playoff baseball. Plus, Gerrit Cole has not pitched well in September, but you do have that bona fide ace. The Red Sox right now really don't. So that was the edge for me. I put the Yankees one slot ahead of the Red Sox. They're both similar teams. They had the same record this year. They both kind of the Yankees underperformed. The Red Sox actually probably overperformed. They both can score runs. They both can hit homers. But the Yankees, I give the edge with the pitching staff. So I give them the slight edge in the rankings. Red Sox 9, Yankees 8. Hope the Red Sox win tonight. Number 7, this is where I slot the Atlanta Braves. Look, the Atlanta Braves have the worst record of any playoff team this year. So really, they should probably be number 10. But I put them at number 7 because they've been playing much better baseball the second half of the year. They made some good moves at the trade deadline that has really improved this club. And here's the thing for the Braves. They have a tough matchup with the Brewers in the first round. Going to be tough to get past Milwaukee. But the Braves have the better lineup than Milwaukee. And while good pitching beats good hitting, okay, well, when you compare pitching staffs, actually, since the trade deadline, the Braves' top two starters have better numbers than the Brewers' top two starters. The Brewers have a better pitching staff. The Brewers have the best starting rotation in baseball, but it's a short series. You only use about 3 starting pitchers, and the Braves, their starters, have been pitching really well the past month. Lineup has gotten going. So the Braves have been playing good baseball. They have a couple of good starters that can match up with the Brewers. Devin Williams is out for Milwaukee. But then for the Braves, if you get past the Brewers, then you have to deal with the Giants or the Dodgers most likely. Then you go to the World Series at that point. If you get that far and have to deal with, who knows, the best team of the AL, it's a tough path. They have the worst record of any playoff team, so I put them at only number 7. Number 6, I put the White Sox. The White Sox allowed the fewest runs of any playoff team in the AL. I have questions about Tony La Russa. He's the oldest manager. He's 77 years old. We've never had a manager that old make it to the World Series. The White Sox kind of faded in the second half of the season. Good pitching. Defense is a little shaky. It's interesting that they allowed the fewest runs in the AL despite not being a very good defensive team, but they also played in a lousy division. The White Sox were my favorite for the majority of this baseball season. They did not play as well the second half of the year. Some hitters cooled off. The bullpen guys wore down. The defense reared its ugly head. I put the White Sox at number 6 of the power rankings. Number 5, I go Houston Astros. Astros had the best lineup in baseball this year statistically, right there with the Blue Jays. And while there's some new faces and guys like George Springer, you know, he's not there anymore, you still have plenty of experience here in terms of the Astros being in the postseason and winning big games. The problem for Houston, right, insert your jokes, they won't be able to bang on their trash cans this year. They get the White Sox, though. That's an easier matchup. I'd rather face the White Sox, especially with home field advantage, than the Rays, or even, I do think, the Red Sox-Yankees. I'm not as high in the White Sox here the second half of the season. Then we get to the top four teams in the baseball postseason. Number four, I say the Dodgers. I only put them number four. I know they have the second-best record in baseball. The reasons why I put them number four is because we have to make sure they get past tomorrow night first. Now, they should. They're at home. Max Scherzer's on the mound. Scherzer had a sub-1 ERA his first nine starts with the Dodgers. But then in his last two starts, he allowed as many runs as innings pitched. Which Max Scherzer are you going to get tomorrow night? Plus, Clayton Kershaw is now injured, so they're without him. Max Muncy is now injured. They're without him. So it's a little bit of a banged-up Dodgers team. They won over 100 games, but they have to play in the wild card round. And then the gift or the reward for that matchup is then taking on the Giants. And the Giants had a better record than them. The Giants beat them head-to-head this year, and the Giants will have home field advantage. So the Dodgers may be the second-best team in baseball, but they do have a tough path. Single-game elimination tomorrow night, and then the Giants, and that's just the first round. Then you get to the NLCS, then the World Series. They got a lot of talent, but they got some injuries. I only put them number four for those reasons. If they did not have to play in the wild card round, I would put the Dodgers higher, but I think that hurts their chances. Number three, the Milwaukee Brewers, because they have the best rotation in baseball. They have all year long, and they get to face the Braves, who, as I already covered, has the worst record of any playoff team this year. So the Brewers have the best pitching staff, and they get the best first-round draw. They don't have to play in a wild-card game. They get home field advantage against the team that won fewer than 90 games. The one concern for the Brewers, their reliever Devin Williams broke his hand punching a wall after having a little too much champagne when they clinched a playoff spot. That's a big loss. He had a 2.5 ERA, was one of their best guys out of the bullpen. That's a big loss, especially for postseason baseball. But the Brewers have a really good pitching rotation, and I think that is very important this time of year. And they can avoid potentially the Dodgers, potentially even the Giants, for the entirety of the postseason, depending on how this first week goes. Number two of the teams I trust the most, or I think are the best heading into the postseason, San Francisco Giants. Now, the Giants, my concern for them, is too reliant on home runs. They led the league in homers this year. Half of their runs, 50% of their runs, came on home runs. That's tough to win in the postseason that way. So it always gets the Yankees knocked out. You can't rely on home runs. The Braves, to that point as well. The Braves, 48% of their runs come on homers, fourth highest in the league. So that's a concern for me come playoff time, especially when you go up against the best pitching staff in the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll see how that Braves lineup does. But focusing on the Giants now, the Giants are very reliant on home runs. They're a little bit of a Cinderella team. Everybody's waiting for that other shoe to drop. But I put them at number two because at this point, I think we need to stop questioning them. I mean, they won 107 games. They held off the Dodgers. They played the best baseball in the league over the course of a six-month season. And I don't think we can just call this a fluke. 162 games is a large sample size. If a team gets off to a hot start the first month, okay, it could be a little flukish. If a team has the best record after 6 months, I think we need to give them some credit. Gabe Kapler's done a fantastic job. They have a deep lineup. Nobody that hit more than 40 home runs, but they still led the league in home runs. They have a lot of depth. They led the league in pinch hit home runs. They have guys that can come off the bench and come up with a big hit. They just have one of those teams, almost like a feeling of destiny this year. They added Chris Bryant, who's played well. Buster Posey is having a career year. He opted out of last season. So you have an aging catcher who took a year off, came back this year, played great. It's a veteran team. In fact, it's the oldest team in the NL. I think that bodes well for the playoffs. I like this Giants team a lot. It'll be tough if they draw the Dodgers in the first round, but I think the Giants, I mean, they do have the best record. I think they are the best team in the NL heading to the postseason, which takes us to number one, the Tampa Bay Rays. Right? I'm not going out on a limb here to tell you the Rays and the Giants are the two best teams heading into the postseason. Those are the two teams that have the best records in their leagues. But the Tampa Bay Rays, I don't know how they do it. As a fan of one of their division rivals, it frustrates me to no end, but they deserve a lot of credit. The Rays made it to the World Series last year. They lost their top three starting pitchers from that year's team. They lost every reliever they had that had multiple saves on last year's team. They had 25 different players go on the IL this year. They had to use 41 different pitchers to get through this season, second most in the league. And at the end of the year, they finished with the best record in the AL despite playing in the best division in the AL. I don't know how they do it. You probably couldn't name, even if you're a big baseball fan, probably couldn't name five pitchers on that roster. Kevin Cash does a remarkable job. So does that front office. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they got to this point. They were the best team in baseball through July and August. The Rays, I do think, are the team to beat heading into this postseason. They were there last year in the World Series, and just they find ways to win. I can't describe it. They had to use 41 pitchers. They had 25 different injured players this year. They lost their best pitchers from last year's team, and yet they had an even better winning percentage this year. Happens every year. They lose their best players and only get better. I don't know how they do it, but I'm no longer going to doubt them anymore. I just am going to trust that they are the team to beat here heading into this postseason. There you go, power ranking the 10 playoff teams in Major League Baseball. Now, you know, I am a Red Sox fan. I have not shied away from that this afternoon. I have my Red Sox jersey on. I am very nervous about today's game tonight at Fenway Park, Red Sox-Yankees. Super Dave called last hour, looked into that crystal ball, and Super Dave gave us the big prediction tonight to try to calm my concerns. And we have the official Super Dave intro as we reiterate the prediction he made last hour.
When lives are at stake and the danger too great, there is but one hero daring enough to rise to any challenge. He's incredible. He's spectacular. He's Super Dave.
Super Dave said the Red Sox will win tonight 3-1 in a pitcher's duel at Fenway Park. But then Dave from Georgetown reached out and said, no, not so fast. He thinks the Yankees are going to win. So we have dueling Daves here with opposite predictions. Super Dave said the Red Sox. Dave from Georgetown said the Yankees. Joe, which Dave should we trust more tonight when it comes to predicting this? Super Dave or Dave from Georgetown?
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to, like, flip a coin here. Okay, here we go. I'm going with Super Dave on this
one. All right. I hope you're right. Super Dave did predict the Super Bowl, after all, hence the nickname. He called the Buccaneers winning that game and got close to the proper score prediction as well. Hence the Super Dave moniker ever since. I hope Super Dave's crystal ball is accurate on this rainy Tuesday as he predicts a Red Sox victory tonight 3-1. By the way, along those lines, the Yankees are a slight favorite in Vegas. But also, I was reading all the articles this morning getting ready for the Major League Baseball postseason. On The Athletic specifically, 7 of 8 writers picked the Yankees to win tonight. Then they did the article where they asked different scouts and managers and players in Major League Baseball, and about 90% of them picked the Yankees. Then they did some sort of analytical breakdown, and their model came back with the Yankees having an 80% chance of winning tonight. So everyone's on the Yankees tonight. They're on the road going up against the Red Sox. I don't know. But everyone's picking the Yankees. That almost makes me feel more confident about the Red Sox. Everybody is on New York. 90% of the people that cover the sport that I've read this week are all picking the Yankees. I think it makes me feel even better about the Red Sox. Right? Whenever everyone's one-sided, you go the other way. The two Daves have opposite predictions.
And Dave from Georgetown just called and said, a home runner by Statler.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Okay. I guess Stanton would be what?
Stanton, yeah. Sorry.
Man? Okay. All right. A home run by Stanton will be the difference tonight for the Yankees to win. So we have one Dave on the Red Sox. We have one Dave on the Yankees. I'm told we have a third Dave. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Mr. Luke. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's up?
This is Fake Super Dave, and I'm going with the Red Sox today.
All right. There you go. That makes up. That's the tiebreaker. I hope you're right. Our third Dave going with the Red Sox. That's it. We don't even need to play the game. The Daves are on the Red Sox side. They're winning tonight. Back to the phones. Lou is with us. Lou, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? What was the Dave tally?
We got two Daves for the Red Sox. Two Daves for the Red Sox. One Dave for the Yankees.
Okay. Well, I'm not Dave, but I go Yankees because I always do. And 43 years ago, Saturday last, 3 days ago, was Bucky Dent, the infamous Bucky Dent.
Yes.
So, I'm going to go 43 years and 3 days after that. I'm going to say Kyle Higashioka is going to earn a middle name. in New England.
That's good.
So that's how they describe Bucky Dent.
Right.
The day
yes.
he got his middle name.
Yes, that's right. It would have to be somebody like that because Dent, right, it was a 240 hitter with five home runs. It can't be a Stanton that hits the home run. It's got to be a Higashioka.
It could be, but, you know, the unlikely one would be Higashioka.
Exactly.
Now, is he always the one who catches Cole?
Yeah, he will be catching tonight. Gary Sanchez is supposed to come off the bench if needed.
But nowadays, if Higashioka comes up in a Bucky Dent situation, you know, what was that, the top of the seventh?
Uh-huh.
Back in 78?
That's true, yeah.
They will pinch hit Sanchez because Cole's probably out of the game by then.
That's true.
And if they're desperate, they'll pinch hit Sanchez. I mean, yeah, likely.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. Yeah, we'll see if Higashioka even
gets a chance. Not likely to come up that way.
No, but you never know. We'll see.
But if it does, that would be the one.
All right. If that happens, then you become Super Lou here on the show. If Higashioka comes up with a big home run, who played here in Charleston, he was a fan favorite here in the Lowcountry. We'll see. Bucky Dent will be there tonight, by the way. He's going to the game, and he plans to visit the Green Monster. Of course, there weren't seats there when he hit that home run in 78. I can only imagine how much they're going to talk about it tonight on the game. If he's going to be there in person, get ready for that. If you watch the game tonight, even if you're not a Red Sox Yankee fan, we're probably going to get knocked over the head with the whole Bucky Dent angle, with him sitting there. Now, I actually met Bucky Dent years ago because I broadcasted for his son, who played at Florida. He played in the SEC. I think it was Cody Dent. I don't think I don't know if he made it in the minors, but I met Bucky, and he was, it was just a simple hello. I didn't have a conversation with him, but I did meet him, and he seemed like a nice guy. But yes, certain parts there in New England, you can't bring up that name even all these years and World Series later. We'll see what happens tonight. Single elimination. It's not good for my nerves. Tonight is going to be an anxious night in the Morrow household, most likely. Hopefully the Red Sox come out. You put a five spot in the first inning, then we're cruising. Then I'm feeling good the rest of the night. Otherwise, we're going to have to, we'll be stressing this thing out. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. We have to get to Urban Meyer's awkward apology. Very uncomfortable. But why it seems to be important for the Jaguars. We'll get to that coming up. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We'll get to Urban Meyer's awkward, uncomfortable press conference yesterday and apology coming up. Getting ready for Red Sox Yankees tonight, which signals the beginning of the Major League Baseball postseason. This would probably be the selling point for the one-game wild card. Right, Rob Manfred would point to this tonight. I'm sure it's going to do a huge number. You have the Red Sox, you have the Yankees, one game, even average baseball fans will be into it. Tuesday night, no other sports going on. I'm sure a lot of people, and he'll say, right, this is why we have to do it. It'd be even better, though, if you dragged it out over three, if you had this three nights this week, or a five-game series, or think back to the seven-game series almost 20 years ago. Right, that was great baseball. And everybody seems to be on the Yankees, except we have one. The Dave competition here. Two Daves are on the Red Sox side, one on the Yankees. By the way, David is the sixth most common name in this country for men over the last 100 years. So plenty of Daves out there. Super Dave. And the third Dave on the Red Sox, Dave from Georgetown on the Yankees, thinking Stanton delivers the crushing blow. I will say this. Everybody seems to be on the Yankees that covers the sport. The Red Sox did have one of the best home records this year and also hit over 280 at home, 40 points higher than the league average. We'll see what happens tonight. And depending on what happens in that game, you'll know what my mood will be before the show even begins tomorrow. We'll find out this evening. So we talked about this whole Urban Meyer story with him being caught at his own restaurant in Ohio after the Jaguars game. And there's videos of him, grinding with like a young blonde half his age. And then there was even a second video that came out that showed him, groping her rear end. And not good looks for Urban. Urban Meyer held his press conference yesterday, of course, was asked about this. this is I felt uncomfortable just watching this or listening to this. Here's Urban Meyer. It's about 90 seconds long. Urban talking about the situation with the media in Jacksonville yesterday.
Yeah, I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction. Just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it, and you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in a kind of position.
Urban, did you fly back with the team, or did you stay in?
No, I stayed to see the grandkids, and we all went to dinner that night at the restaurant. And then there's a big group next to our restaurant, and they wanted me to come over and take pictures, and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on the dance floor, screwing around, and I should have left.
How did the team react? I mean, they're probably pretty reactionary, or, you know, how did they take it, your apology?
Well, I've always been so defensive of them. You know, I remember when Trevor told me he was going to go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I was just, my gosh, man, be careful and surround yourself, and because I've seen this happen, and I just, so the team, I spoke to a bunch of leaders one-on-one, spoke to all the players. They're good. They were focused on Tennessee, and I apologized again for being a distraction, and a coach should not be a distraction.
How about your family? Did you feel a need to apologize to your family?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, that's not me, and that's, they're upset.
Have you talked to Shad Khan about it, and what was that conversation like?
I did talk to Shad, and very supportive, and Trent, I talked to him, obviously, at length, right when I got that phone call that night, next night.
That was Urban yesterday talking to the media. Maybe it's just me. I just felt, when I watched that yesterday, I just felt uncomfortable. He looks so uncomfortable up there. And everything about it is uncomfortable. Now, I'm not going to get into his whole personal life. Him and his wife, whatever. I don't know what their situation is. They could figure all that stuff out. I don't care. But from a sports perspective, Mike Silver was tweeting this morning that, here are his tweets. The Meyer situation in Jacksonville has reached a crisis point, especially in the locker room. One player told me he has zero credibility in that stadium. He had very little to begin with. Players were particularly put off by the fact that he canceled Monday's team meeting as he dealt with the uproar over the videos of him and a young woman getting cozy in that Ohio bar. He even canceled the team meeting. He was too scared, a player said. Instead, Meyer only apologized to position groups individually. He portrayed the woman in the video as a random person. Suffice it to say, his audience was highly skeptical. One player said, "We looked at him like, WTF, what the blank." Right when he left, everybody started dying laughing, and he knew it. Bottom line, said the player, "It's bad. I don't know how he's going to function." Now, we could say whatever you want about, you know, it obviously wasn't a good look. The fact that Urban didn't fly home with the team, the fact that now you cancel a team meeting today to deal with this, anytime your coach is a distraction, that's not a good thing. How often do we get videos or issues like this with a Bill Belichick or a Sean McVay or even a John Gruden? Do we ever get videos of them out, you know, partying it up during the season with young women? It's just not a good look for your football coach, not flying back with the team, staying in Ohio. Even for me, the fact that he's wearing Ohio State stuff. You know, you're the coach of the Jaguars now. If I'm a Jaguars player and I see my coach still wearing Ohio State stuff, it's like, come on, you're coaching us now. You're no longer the Ohio State coach. This isn't college football. And I want you getting ready and grinding and working hard. Not that type of grinding, but the grinding with the film to get ready for the next game. We're winless. We want to go win games. We don't want our coach going out there getting blasted and becoming a distraction. That's the most important part. There have been a lot of distractions with Urban Meyer. That's not the case with other coaches. And that's the biggest issue. Not what's going on in the video. Not what he may have to deal with now in his personal life. Forget that. But you can't have your football coach be a distraction. Hour 3 next.